Hey everyone, and welcome to the next episode of Nurse Talk. Today we're going to be discussing the unsung heroes of healthcare, our hospice workers. So for those that don't know, the definition of hospice is a special kind of care that focuses on the quality of life for people and their caregivers who are experiencing an advanced life-limiting illness. Generally, this is somebody who has been given a life expectancy of 6 months, and it's generally associated with cancer, but hospice also will treat the symptoms of diseases such as COPD, CHF, dementia and Alzheimer's, even end-stage liver and renal disease. Hospice treats the person and symptoms of the disease rather than treating the disease itself. So someone who's been diagnosed with cancer, who's going to undergo treatment such as chemo and radiation, they would not qualify for hospice because they are treating the disease. Hospice also provides not only the medical care, but also spiritual care, respite care, and bereavement care. So I wasn't really sure what respite care was before I went through my hospice rotation, but respite care is where the caregiver gets a break for approximately 5 to 7 days. Generally, the patient will go to an inpatient facility like a nursing home or something like that. Because think about it, 24/7, it's got to be emotionally draining, physically draining, and the patient can't be taken care of if the caregiver isn't taking care of themselves. So it's very important to allow the caregivers a break from it all. So respite care is fantastic. And bereavement care is provided once the patient's passed away. Hospice will provide grief counseling. It takes a team of professionals to work together to manage the symptoms so that a person's last days may be spent with dignity and quality. And that's the biggest part of hospice. You want somebody in their end stage of life to have the best quality of life under their circumstances. So this includes physicians, mid-levels, nurses, techs, therapists, case managers, and social workers, because a lot of times hospice patients will need medical equipment and supplies to help treat those diseases. And so that team will collaborate and help provide those needs for the patients. So I had a personal experience with hospice. My husband's grandmother was diagnosed with colon cancer and underwent treatment for that. They thought it was in remission and it had metastasized to her liver. She had a large tumor which was surrounded by blood vessels, so it was non-operable. And she was admitted into hospice January of 2016. She was actually admitted to hospice the day that I graduated with my associate's degree in nursing. And so she was on hospice for approximately a month. I was a month into my nursing career when we had to deal with the end stage of the hospice care. So that included giving her last doses of morphine and making sure she was comfortable during those last days. So I can remember the day that she passed away. We had gone to visit. It was a weekend and we're like, you know what? We tried to go as much as we could because she did live 45 minutes away. So we tried to go almost every weekend to see her and spend time with her. And I remember we went Saturday and I was not expecting to see what I saw because it had been downplayed greatly as far as what condition she was in. And so I walked in and immediately had to walk right back out because I was just not prepared for it. She ended up passing away that night, but it helped being a nurse because I knew the medication she was getting was for pain and to prevent any suffering and to make her as peaceful as possible. And so I actually was the one who provided her with her last few doses of morphine. And you really have to think of the positives of that, because if not, you're going to constantly think about the details. And a lot of times you will feel guilty. So the first few months I was like, dang, I provided her with the last dose of morphine. Like, was that what sent her over the edge? But you really can't think that way because it will gnaw at you. You have to think about the positives. You have to think, you know what? I helped her go peacefully. She wasn't in any pain. She wasn't suffering. And that's how you have to continue to have your mindset. So I saw the worst case scenario in regards to hospice. And when I found out I had to do a clinical in hospice care for my nurse practitioner degree, I was absolutely dreading it. I was like, great, I'm going to be sad all the time. It's 3 months. That's going to be the longest 3 months of my life. I'm probably going to cry every single day because I cannot control my emotions. It's going to be terrible. But honestly, I had the best preceptor. She was so sweet, so caring. She had been in hospice care for several years. And prior to that, she was a nurse in nursing homes. And so she really cared about the elderly population, especially those in their end stage of life. And that really helped get me through my preceptorship, because without that and without seeing all the positives with the negatives, it would be, I mean, it was emotionally draining. But she helped with that. She helped me get through that and really see the joys of hospice. And I think that plays a big role in it, especially for the people who work in hospice. Those people have to have the compassion and the will to work with these patients who are in their end stage of life. And it's not always glamorous. And it's not something that can be taught in nursing school. These people are called to be hospice nurses or hospice providers. It is truly a calling. Hospice isn't just about death either, because with my one experience, that's what I only thought it was. It was just sad and depressing. But honestly, I never knew that people can be taken off of hospice. If somebody's managing their symptoms well, they can come off of hospice. Now, you have those patients who don't want to come off because the medication is provided, their equipment's provided, and you have those patients who abuse the system. But a lot of times, family members will rejoice because their family member gets to come off of hospice because they're doing so great. I remember in particular, there was one patient who knew the verbiage to say and what she needed to do to make sure she didn't come off hospice. She was a COPD patient who still smoked heavily, and she wore oxygen. So she'd have to take her oxygen off to smoke, which she smoked the majority of the day. So she was hardly wearing her oxygen. She knew exactly what to say to ensure she met the specifications to be able to be renewed on hospice. Also had one patient one time. This is totally different than the one I just described. She literally lived in a metal container and with a camper attached to the back. It was nuts. Like the setup was, it was kind of cool, honestly. But it was kind of crazy because her and her husband smoked. It was like hotboxing a metal building. It was so strong. You had to make that patient the last one of the day because you would come out and you would smell like straight cigarette smoke. It was crazy. But family plays a huge role in regards to hospice. Now, whether it be good or bad, I've seen both. And the patients who have a caring family will go above and beyond to make sure that they are comfortable, supported, and all their cares are met. There was one family in particular who they necessarily couldn't be home all the time with their family member, so they paid to have a sitter sit with their family member during the day while they were at work, and then they took over at nighttime so that that patient was never left alone. They were always supported. They were always cared for in every aspect. I also saw family members who would take their patients' medications and they would not turn them and they would get bed sores or, you know, everything like that. I mean, it was a mess. And sometimes you could really tell who cared for their family member because you could look at the home. Were they hoarders? Did they clean? Or was it just a sloppy, completely disgusting home? And you know, it makes you feel really bad for the patient because they can't control that. It's out of their control on their situation as far as where they're staying. And it can also get dangerous. I mean, if you had to confront a family member about taking the patient's narcotics, that could get dangerous. And then there was a couple instances in particular where firearms were involved. So one was we were going out of town. We had to drive like 45 minutes to get to the destination. And mind you, I could not ride with my preceptor because it was a liability. So I had to drive everywhere she drove, which was fine. I got to listen to many a podcast. So I was driving 45 minutes. We get to the facility. We're walking in. We usually would kind of congregate before we go in and discuss, okay, this is who we're seeing. This is what's going on. Well, we get there and there's people at the front door yelling at us to hurry up and come in. And we're like, what the heck is going on? So we hurry in. They're on lockdown because somebody showed up with a gun, shot one of the nurses, and the person ran. And so they hadn't been found yet. And so the facility's on lockdown. And we're like, what did we walk into? Like, what in the world? You would think at a nursing home, it would not be this crazy, but it was. And then there was another incident where we were pulling up to a patient's home, and this patient was a quadriplegic. I can't remember exactly what happened to him. I don't know if he was in a car wreck or what. He was a young patient, though, and he had a son, and his wife lived with him as well and was his caregiver, and he was threatening to kill himself. And so we had to obviously leave the front of their house, and a social worker had to get involved, and luckily nothing bad ended up happening, but there's so many dangerous situations that can go wrong. I mean, you go to all parts of the cities. I mean, you go to the bad parts, you go to the crime-ridden parts, but you also go to the really wealthy parts. And so it's such a dangerous position to where you never know what you may encounter. You have to be focused on your surroundings constantly because it can be dangerous. Hospice took a huge hit with COVID because despite the pandemic, there was still hospice patients. Patients were still having to be cared for. And the thing about hospice is it's not a controlled environment like the hospital. Like I was talking about earlier, I mean, you go to their home, you go to nursing care facilities, you go all over the place to see these patients. And so even with the pandemic, you couldn't be like, well, I'm not going in anybody's home. You had to go care for those patients. And so I think it was a huge part of caring for patients in the pandemic because these hospice patients continued to have their same issues and God forbid they catch COVID in the process. And so these employees were having to go in full equipment, shields, N95s, gowns, and supplies were limited. They were having to use what they had, and they are truly the healthcare heroes. Luckily, the CARES Act has actually acknowledge that and is providing distributions to hospice and palliative care providers in response to the pandemic. So we just want to say thank you to our hospice workers, whether you're a physician, mid-level, tech, social worker, case manager, therapist, I don't care what you do. Thank you for all you do. You're the true healthcare heroes and we appreciate you so much. But I just wanted to give you a little information as far as hospice and what it includes. If you have any questions, you can always DM us on Instagram at Nurse Talk Podcast. You can email us at nursetalkpodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for Nurse Talk.